بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل لعبادي يقول التي هي أحسن. Allah Park speaks about the distinguished position of men. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Allah Park has honored mankind, elevated him over other creations. And this distinguished position comes in different ways. Man is the only creation that eats with his fingers. Others will eat with their mouth straight or with their hands. But eating from the fingers is an exclusive feature of man. Then in the food, man is the only creature who combines the food, joins up. One plate there'll be, in one morsel that you're eating, there'll be meat, there may be some aloo, there'll be some spice, some rice, right? Some water, some dodi, and in one morsel you'll be eating it. So there's no other creature that eats like how man eats. Right? So your fingers, then your food, then the ability to express himself. Ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. Other creatures can express themselves, but to say all that what their mind is, what is contained in their minds, this is something exclusive with man. He's the only creature that can talk out his mind. Complete, fully, exactly, with graphic details, explanations, proofs, everything complete. So in that respect also, he is exclusive. Then he is the only creature that can invent. As we progress in life, right, we move on in life, and new developments, new needs come about, then there's no other creature that can adjust and create and invent like man can do it. Others may be able to adjust, right? But to invent, this is again exclusive with man. In the old, there used to be sewing clothes, right? From Adam alayhi salam time. To say that they were walking around naked or wearing only skins of animals is wrong, it's incorrect. They knew how to sew as well. But to adapt and adjust according to the modern requirements and taking out the threads from different places, nylon and plastic and byproduct of oil, that is exclusive to man. Right. So, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. This is his physical self. His physical self, he is exclusive. His spiritual self, he is exclusive again. Allah Ta'ala made him the Masjudul Malaika, that his level of comprehension was such that no other creature could comprehend. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَى. So he could comprehend so well, and because his level of comprehension was so well, and this was witnessed by the Malaika as well, that he didn't just understand a substance, he understood its uses, the advantages, the disadvantages, the properties, everything he understood. Right? So the level of his comprehension was far above the comprehension of every other creation. So he comprehended the whole works of the universe. So when he comprehended so well, he understood so well, so he'll be able to apply himself the best in comparison to every other creation. So therefore Allah Pak made him the Masjudul Malaika, that you are going to be the most honored creation, and hence the most pious, the most righteous, they are also going to bow down to you. If he excels, that his level of excellence is so great that he will excel over the highest ranking malaika, Anbiya and the Rasuls, and they will go and they will escalate, they will raise up above the highest ranking malaika, Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, Israel. Right. So he'll go so high. So in various ways, Allah Ta'ala has given him a very distinguished position. But when you get a prize, then there is a corresponding responsibility. You got a prize, you got a reward. And the reward comes with a responsibility. If you pay for the prize, you got something, I'll pay for it. That animal, it wasn't distinguished as you were distinguished. So that animal will serve you. Allah Pak has distinguished you in your physical self, in your spiritual self. So you are a combination of the earth and the heavens. You got some of the heaven in you and some of the earth on you. So you're so distinguished, so powerful. So when you got a combination of the both, then you can rule over every creation. Those that have been to India would see that a small child, 10, 11 years of age, and he's herding elephants. He's herding one child, but he's herding elephants. He's herding a whole herd of ox or of buffaloes. A small child is doing it. But you will never see one buffalo herding one man. Can you see that? With all his mass and his strength, the elephant can't handle one person. One person is handling so many. The strength, the ability, the unique characteristic Allah Ta'ala has blessed him. So when he's been blessed so well, so much he's blessed, then there must be a corresponding responsibility. You have got the heaven on you, you have got the earth in you, you have got the ability to navigate the seas, to travel over the air, everything in one man. Talk of it and you've got it. The ability of expression, and then you developed it. And when Allah Pak saw the need, then he gave him that ability to communicate himself in a second from one part of the earth to the other part of the earth. See how he can communicate. So Allah Pak gave him that ability. So when Allah Pak has blessed him so much, then your responsibilities also will be so much. You cannot say, no, I just enjoy and I don't want to pay a price for that. Then you will be apprehended. You're going into pick and pay and you're going to take everything, you're going to pick, but you don't want to pay. Then they say you go to prison, right? Won't they say that? That's the law. So in this world, you picked and you picked and you picked. So much you picked. But that corresponding responsibility that goes with it is, you know, I don't want to pay for that. So I said, well then that's Jahannam for you. All Allah Pak is saying, alright, you pick the stuff, but pay for it. That's what he's saying. You pick and you pay for it. You pay for it, you're doing well. Allah Pak is going to be honoring you further and further, giving you more prizes. What you are paying for, there's no comparison to the price that Allah Pak is giving. You're paying some small price. You're paying some small amount, but what price is giving you for that? That you can't, no comparison. You do that little bit of service, namaz, whatever. But we all know how haphazard we do it. Without any concentration, without any focus, without any dedication, we're doing it. But in spite of our limitation, our weak efforts, in spite of our broken efforts, it's still blessings. All right, now I'll make your rosy easy for you. So you see, the ones that are showing some allegiance, obedience to Allah Ta'ala, then you don't see any part of the world that he's suffering. His rosy is done. His home is covered. All his basic requirements Allah has covered him for. But a basic level of obedience, and Allah has covered you so much. Just for that basic level of obedience. So in this verse Allah speaks about, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. When you speak, then speak that which is best. He doesn't say speak good, speak, don't speak just good, but best. Because you're going to be communicating, and the effect of the communication is lasting. It's lasting more than a physical injury. You know, if I hurt you, right, that injury will heal up. But if I hurt your feelings, that your heart will not heal up. For many, many years, you will have that place in your heart, place in your mind, stuck in your mind. You can't rub it out. You can't erase it. Okay, this person, this is what he told me. He used this word, he used that word, derogatory words against me. He used all these words. So your mind has locked it up, and you don't want to release it. You don't want to forget it. Despite the way I'm saying something, you know, of interest perhaps. It'll be just refreshing your mind. The importance of tajweed, you know. How important tajweed is. Tajweed is the right pronunciation. And the right pronunciation, how important it is. Even in the English language, the correct pronunciation is so important. And I'll show you one example in English. That if the right pronunciation is not used, then it becomes derogatory. It becomes derogatory, it becomes slang, it becomes a disrespectful word, right? Right? On a Juma, you see people waiting for the Juma and they doze off, right? So, brothers, please don't doze off, get up. So that's a respectable way to say it. Why? You're saying it with the right pronunciation. You're saying it ma'roof, right? When it's you pronounce it ma'roof, not majhool, then it was said right, it was said respectfully, but now the same word, say it with the slang, doz. Brothers, you're dozing here. The same word, but you deleted the tajweed. You removed the tajweed of the word, now it became derogatory. You see that? If you're calling your father, father is in the lounge, Abba, don't doze, going now. Is that respectable? Is that respectful? Abba, don't doze off. You're going down, you know. Don't doze off. Now it's a respectful word. You see that? Minus the tajweed, it becomes a derogatory word. And with that tajweed, it becomes a respectable word. Now that is also already proven in English. So it will apply to every other language as well. Just a tajweed, ma'roof and majhool. Small little difference, variation. And see what he did. A world of a difference. So, Allah Pak is saying, يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. You need to speak. You need to communicate. You need to talk. You're going to talk. You can't avoid talking. You're going to be talking. But in your talking, then you need to be very careful. Meanwhile, Tajweed Ustaz can use this as an example as well. What Ismail can use this in the workshop. Dosing and dozing, right? A teacher is that person who can relate. He understands, he relates, he reasons, he understands emotions and feelings. That's a perfect teacher. But if he's only talking, just talking of philosophies and concepts, he doesn't relate, he can't understand emotions, then he's a teacher, all right. But zaapte ke teacher. Raapte ke nahi. He's a teacher, all right. By name, he's a teacher. But is he a real teacher? He's not a real teacher. So to become a real teacher, you need to do some thinking, jogging of the mind. So this is what Allah Pak is saying, يَقُولُ لَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. Say that which is best. So for you to be saying the best words, you need to think of what you are speaking. The words, choice of the words. I'm going to tell him something. What words must I use? How can I address this? In a way it's palatable, enjoyable, he'll appreciate it. He won't feel hurt about it. Nabi Sallam was cautious about this. So he says, don't let this Bedouins, these villages, override you. Because they don't say Isha, they say Atama. For Isha, they say Atama. So don't let them override you. Now that Atama, if you look at the origins of the word, The origins of the word come from this situation where some Bedouins would delay the milking of the animals right till after Isha, when the night has set completely. Say now, in our times, about 9, half past 9, around that time. So they would milk the animals at that time. Why they would milk the animals at that time? Because now if they're doing it around Maghrib time or Asr time, then they have to share it with the neighbors. Everybody's seeing now. Sengambuzi, yeah? Right? So everybody's seeing that. When everybody's seeing it, so now the neighbor will come around, so you feel ashamed not to share. Now the right thing is now when everybody is asleep at about 9, half past 9, nobody to see, and you are milking the animal yourself, drinking and enjoying yourself. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't you use the word Atama, use the word Isha. So this word was a little bit of like a derogatory word, so don't use this word. Though it conveyed the same meaning around Isha time, 9 o'clock, half past eight, right? It was about conveying the same message. But he asked you not to use that word because that word doesn't have, is not so refined. Right? You're feeling nauseated, right? Feeling miserable. Then the hadith says, don't say khabusat nafsi, bal taqulu laqisat nafsi. Don't use this word, I'm feeling terrible, miserable, nauseated, don't say that. So the same thing you can express in more refined words, not feeling well. Now how do you feel when I say I'm not feeling well? Against the word, I'm feeling nauseated, I'm feeling miserable, terrible, horrible. See? How do you feel? See? So these words have been used, and Islam has taught all these things here. That is why even you're visiting the toilet, right? So from time to time, the word just changed. When we were children, so they were saying latrine, right? Then they progressed and they said toilet, right? So they're progressing all the time. And now they're saying we're going to the bath. So it's the same word, but it's just progressing. Why you progress the word? Why do you advance? Because when you're saying to the person, I'm going to the toilet or latrine, I'm going to make number one, number two, so it creates a different feeling in the person's mind. But you're saying I'm going to the bath, so the person feels perhaps he ate something, so he's going to gargle his mouth. Or he's feeling sleepy, but you're going to do something else. But you're not creating that nauseating feeling, I'm going for number one, number two. I say I'm going for number one, number two, how do you feel? Islam has taught all these things here. Use the right word. How does it impact on that person? So such simple things, but Islam has taught these things. You've got, say, an addition in the family, right? One is to say, the wife gave birth. Now, if you say to a person that the wife gave birth, now say, hey, how she must have given birth, all that picture comes into your mind. Right? Now, that's not a good picture. Not a good way to express yourself. So the better way to express yourself, there's an addition to the family. Oh, Ismail has got a sister. So that's a better way. Now, when you said gave birth, now the mind goes in a different way. And the same thing has been expressed in a different way, more palatable, more respectable, more dignified. Person takes it well. So this aspects of respect, dignity, how that person is going to take. So all these things Islam has considered. At which occasion, what thing has to be said, what should be avoided. Hazrat Abdul Haq Sahab rahmatullahi, so the minister of the UP was there as his guest. Minister is a big position. India got about 15, that time about 15 provinces, now got even more. So the minister is there, and the minister is asking, he's a Hindu, not Muslim. He's asking, well, that so-and-so person wasn't feeling too well. How's he feeling now? Whilst the meals are on. So Mawla says to him, Mawla was a little bit clear. Not hard and harsh, but whatever was supposed to be said, he would say it. So Minister Sahab, khate waqt aisi baat nahi karni chahiye. At the time of eating, you mustn't discuss these things. Because when you're going to be talking about that person's health, he's very sick now, he's got cancer, he's not feeling well. If you got a little bit of an emotional attachment with the person, can you eat well? Can't eat now. You say, hey, that person now, so friendly person. And so, the right occasion for the right message. And then how to give the message. That's a different thing. Dissemination of news. Sometimes the news has to be broken. But how do you give off that news? Now, it's a person that is advanced in age. The person is young, you speak to him differently. The person that is advanced in age, how do you speak to him? Advanced in age, then he's not so strong. His heart is weak, his mind is weak. Now, it's about his sleeping time. Around his sleeping time, you say that person passed away. Now, can he get a good night's sleep? In the meanwhile, he can't do anything now because the janazah namaz is only in the morning. When the janazah namaz set for the morning, you told him about this message at night. Can he sleep? He can't sleep. A little bit of consideration, a little bit of understanding, all right? And this is to do with Islamic mu'asharat. Mu'asharat and social etiquette. And social etiquette is an important, integral part of Islam. What people have deleted, you know, it doesn't exist in Islam at all. Talk to the person anyhow you want. Tell him whatever you want, at whatever time you want. Do as you please. That is not Islam. And we don't consider this as an Islamic etiquette. I need to talk to him, but how must I convey the message? Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, some message came that so and so family person has passed away. So he says to his khadim that this news mustn't be announced to the family. Now, because now it's Tarawih, Ramadan, so until the morning you can't do anything. When you can't do anything, don't divulge the message now so they can sleep well. Don't divulge the message at Seri because they can't eat, they won't be able to eat Seri well. See, these people's thinking. Mu'asharat. Mu'asharat is an integral part of your Islamic culture, Islamic mannerism. The Islam has taught all these things. Right. Like one simple example, waqwabu mawdu'a. Right. A facility that's commonly used, right? A facility that's commonly used. Everybody is using it. Generally you'll find it in the masjid, right? Sometimes some things at home also, it's used by one and all, shared by one and all. So if it's shared by different people, then it must have one place. Leave it at that spot. Right? For example, the jug in the toilet, right? So that facility is used by all. Now, the jug in the toilet, you took the jug and you wanted to water the garden and left it outside. Now, someone pulls into the toilet and he's hard up, he's pressed. He just went there. And then he realized, after he did half of the job, then he realizes the jug is not around. So what is supposed to be kept at which place? Leave it there. And the Quran is saying, وَقْوَابٌ مَوْدُوَى. Leave it in its place. Do you see that? Brother Muhammad was so particular about these things here. What today we don't consider as an etiquette, we don't consider as Islam. But he was so considerate about this. Towards the end of his life, he must have been about 80 around the time, and he needed to go to a toilet. Right. Maybe at about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and he needs to go to the toilet. So he was weak at the time. He went to the toilet, right? And normally the toilet jug was kept at a different spot because at that time they didn't have this communal water that we have. So the water is kept perhaps at one spot, you fill your jug, and then you go to the toilet. Now he did that, he cleaned himself, and then as he's returning to leave the jug at its place, he fell a spell of dizziness and he fell unconscious. I regained consciousness. He understood I fell. Nobody knows about it. So slowly he made himself to the bed. But as he reached the bed, now he realized that the jug is not kept in its spot. So with all that difficulty, the pain, everything, he got up, took the jug, left it in its place, now comes and rests. We will feel uneasy. The small speck in the wall, the tile is not right, you can't sleep now. And these people, they will not feel easy if any type of discomfort is caused. That person, the third person, the fourth person, in my talking, in my speech, in my interacting, in my behavior, in my conduct, no person must go through any difficulty. That is called Islam, that's called mu'asharat, that's called social etiquette. See the choice of words. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِي أَحْسَنُ. Say what you need to say, but say it with beauty. Say it in the best manner. Right. So Hazrat Shaykh Hamza is telling his family people that don't break the news at night, because you're going to break the news at night, then they won't be able to sleep. It's the month of Ramadan, they can't sleep. You're going to tell them at Sehri time they can't eat Sehri. Don't tell them after Sehri also, because most people, they have a long night in Ramadan, making a lot of ibadat, and then they're going to have Sehri, then they're going to sleep for an hour. So after an hour or two, when they have rested, when they got up, just about half an hour, three quarter hour before the janazah namaz can be recited or performed, then tell them. So they got the rest, they got the Sehri, they rested in the morning again, now they're ready for the janazah. But had you told them, broke the news at night, usse koi fayda hota, would it have benefited them in any way? So a little bit of consideration, a little bit of thought. And you see this coming up so well in the hadith of Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. She understood this thing, and this hadith has been explained again and again in bayans, in talks, comes in Bukhari Sharif so many times, the same hadith. As the husband pulls in, and the husband will ask the ailing son, how's he? Wa askanu makan. He is very comfortable. He is peaceful. Now the wife realized that the husband has come from a hard day's work. He needs to eat. The whole day he didn't eat, he needs to eat. Number two, he needs to rest as well. And number three, perhaps he came and this time he needs some intimacy as well. So she allowed him to do everything. But you can imagine now what difficulty she went through. That body is prepared, she made the ghusl, everything done. Child 1-2 years of age, she did everything, prepared the thing. Left it in the cot where it's supposed to be left. But she allowed the husband to eat, to sleep, to enjoy the intimacy. Around further time now, when it's time to go and perform the janazah namaz and bury the child, then she says to the husband, if someone has given you an amanat, and he asks you to return that amanat, what is the right thing? So, it's the right thing is to return the amanat. The right thing is to return the amanat. Well, Allah Pak has given you this amanat as a child, and Allah Ta'ala asked for it back. He called it. So now we can't complain about it. But why didn't you tell me at night? So she says, had I told you at night, then your sleep would have been spoiled. You couldn't have eaten. You couldn't have enjoyed. But what about yourself? Then you didn't think anything about yourself. Now that's called Islam. I'm not so concerned about myself. I'm concerned about your mental well-being. You are comfortable. You enjoyed. You relaxed. That's the man and that's the woman. The man is thinking the same. And the woman is thinking the same. How is the person going to say? How is he going to feel? The man has just walked into his house, right? Now, unfortunately, all these things were taught to the woman in the past. How to conduct herself. Now, she's taught also, but only she's given some type of circular education. Circular education, the essence of it is how to convert you into a money-making machine. So, in the old, that girl was taught. As the husband walks into the house, receive him well, marhaba, whatever, whichever way, welcome him nicely, then dress up well for him, don't have all achar smells in your hand and all that, right? Onions and all that. Dress up nice, smart for him, so he sees you, and he feels a feeling of relief, happiness, right? Welcome him, let him eat, right? Now there are some things that are bothering you, don't talk about it. Now don't talk about it. Welcome him. Let him eat nicely, let him enjoy. See the same hadith of Sulaym. And this old woman understood all these things here. He's going to rest. He needs to rest. Now you tell him, but you spoiled this and you didn't pay for this and you're supposed to get this thing and you haven't done this. So now the whole night he's bothering. He's concerned. He's feeling miserable that I didn't play my side. I didn't do my part of the game. So the whole night is gone in this worry, in this tension, this anxiety. So they say, all right, he's slept. He's eaten breakfast and he's about to go to shop. This thing has to be attended to. So now he's taking it very easily, very smoothly. He's rested well, he's eaten well. Now as he's walking out of the house, now you tell him, this is what is needed to be done. She'll appreciate it on her side, and you'll appreciate it on your side. You can see how considerate this woman is, that she didn't disturb my sleep, she didn't disturb my breakfast. Now as I'm walking out of the house, then she's relating whatever she needs to be relating. See the social etiquette and how important it is. Sometimes you look in the Quran, and whole ruku is dedicated to that. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Again, social etiquettes. You need the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He don't need you, right? You need. When you need him, then he's also got a program to complete, right? When he's got a program, he's got a rest time, he's got a family time, he's got his children. So he's got his own requirements, his own needs. When he's got his own needs and his own requirements, then you need to be considerate. Why you need to be considerate? That don't you call for him from within his home. Now it's his rest time, his family time, and you're going to be calling him at that time. So isn't he going to be upsetting his family time, his rest time, his meals? He needs some of his family people to be with him around that time. And you are shouting, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. See the words of the Quran Sharif. Those that are calling on the Nabi, that are shouting to the Nabi, from behind, from the outside they are calling on the Nabi. They are calling to the Nabi, but from outside they are calling to the Nabi. أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of them don't have any brains. That's the word, exact translation. They don't have brains. Nabi, doesn't he have a family life? Isn't he a man? Doesn't he have also some requirements, some physical requirements? Doesn't he also need to enjoy with his family? Doesn't his family also need to enjoy with him? Now, you haven't considered anything now. I got this problem. You're shouting and you're calling out the Nabi. How does he feel? وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ. The right thing is, let him finish all, whatever he needs, his household. The household is comfortable. He is comfortable. He is relaxed. At his leisure, when he's coming out, now talk to him. See, social etiquette. The whole ruku is dedicated. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. But you see, these finer aspects of social etiquette, really, we don't consider it to be an aspect of Islam. We don't consider it to be a requirement of Islam. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. One person, Munzir ibn Qais, radiyallahu anhu, the coming of the whole delegation. And who won't want to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So his whole people, they come rushing madly, want to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he was relaxed. So he did about four things before he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He attended to the animals. Those days, now you got mounts coming on horse or camel back. So now, if everybody is coming to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then their minds are in the animals, physically they are by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Won't that be the reality? Because if you're not looking after them, what's going to happen to them? If nobody's attending, what's going to happen? Someone may just take one, or that thing may just stray away. What's going to happen to those animals? So he says, all right, let me take care of the animals. Let me take care of the luggage. So he does that. He has a bath. It's a long, arduous journey that you have undertaken. So we'll be sweaty. So let's have a bath. Then he puts on clean clothes. Then he comes to the masjid. Then he meets Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu congratulates him. Inna fika lakhaslatayn yuhibbuhum Allah. There's two habits in you. Allah also applauds those habits of yours. See the dignified approach, the composed, the composure, dignified consideration. Allah also likes this. Immediately he's got an applaud from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the social etiquette. Did he not have muhabbat? Did he not have love? He had love, he had muhabbat. But he had something additional. He had that consideration, that respect, that feeling for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's a man after all. When he's a man, then he's human, he's got feelings, and I need to respect all those feelings of his. So how must I conduct myself? How must I address myself? Now he got that, and immediately from the heavens, an applaud is coming from the heavens, recognizing his consideration. The heavens is recognizing. إِنَّ فِيكَ لَخَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهِ. There are two characteristics, two ways of yours that even Allah Ta'ala applauds. Allah Ta'ala respects. So, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. This morning I was discussing this, some people. So I say that this refers to a third person in tabligh, a person that is in dawat, a teacher in the ustad, a husband in the home. It connects to everybody. Because just look at the ayat after that. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنُهُمْ And then Rabbukum a'lamu bikum. In yasha yarhamkum aw in yasha yu'adhibkum. See, the teacher, sometimes he feels, the teacher or the da'i, right, when he's in da'wat, what he feels, you know, I need to make this thing work. The teacher feels. But somehow, bang the person, smash the person, hurt the person, but get it across. So sometimes the same thing happens in da'wat. Bang the person, hit the person, smash him, shout, but get the person going, right? So, look at the wording of the Quran. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِنْ يَشَأْ يَرْحَمْكُمْ أَوْ إِنْ يَشَأْ يُعَذِّبْكُمْ. Allah Pak is saying that Hidayat is in my hand. I will bless with mercy. I will bless. I will turn the person's heart. You are not going to turn the heart. Yes, you must do what you are required to do. Your duty is يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Speak, conduct yourself in the best way. You do that. The rest of it, hidayat, guiding, molding, etc., that's my work. You don't assume my responsibility. My duty, you don't take on that. Because you're going to take on my duty, then you're going to hurt the person, you're going to smash the person, you're going to squeeze the person, you're going to cause problems for yourself and for that person. You're going to stress. In the stressing, you will hurt. You know, I was explaining them that there was an estate problem some years ago, and they asked me to be there. So I was there, and one brother said something, and the second brother said something else. And the third brother, when it came to his turn, he got really upset, and he shouted. Just then, we heard, I think after half an hour or so, we heard that that person, his pressure went up, and he got a heart problem. So what was the right thing? Yaqul lati hiya ahsan. Say what is good. Everybody's got feelings, everybody's got emotions. We know you have got emotions. We know that you feel. It's your wealth. But now you're going to be shouting and you're going to be groaning, grunting like this. You're not acting in a human manner. You're acting unhuman. You're not acting and you're not behaving like how a human being is supposed to be behaving. So you're going to bring problem to yourself. Your pressure is rising up. Sugar is going upside down. You're getting a heart problem. Why? Because you didn't behave yourself correctly. It's alright, I need to do things, but let me do it in a dignified way, respectable way, understanding. The choice of my words must be right. I must do things in a dignified manner. I must talk in a respectable manner. But how do I conduct myself? Where you have to use force, you will use force. You have to use your might and strength, you have to use it. But that is on the plane of jihad. Jahidul kuffar, wal munafiqin. On the plane of jihad, then you will use your force, you will use your might. But when you're talking to people, then that will be a different, the plan, the approach will be totally different. Then you will speak differently. يَقُولُ الَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. And when you think about this, then you think about a dignified approach, a refined approach, right? A man is shouting his wife, right? Or he needs to correct his wife. So, when he's considerate and he's thinking about it, then he'll understand, alright? This woman here, the sacrifices that she made for me, for my comfort. She left her home to come and live with me. Right? She left her friends to come and live with me. She left her families to come and live with me. Right? She left her surroundings to come and live in my surroundings. Right? She left her ways and routines to adjust to my routine. Now today, after so many years of marital life, she's stumbled, she's made a mistake. Must I bring down the roof? Must I blow my top? Must I do this? And he'll think, he'll be considerate. She's done so much, and today she's made a mistake. Now must I smash her down, beat her up, shout at her? So that is the one approach, right? You're going to be thinking correctly. But if you're going to be thinking spontaneous, immediate, right? You know, I take care of you. I look at all your expenses, all your medical. I provide for your home. I take you for a holiday. I look at your clothing, all the fashion that you want, I do it. The motor car that you want to drive, I buy all that. And today you can't do this for me. See, if you're going to be looking at it negatively, this time you're going to end up. But you look at it positively, now that whole small, that big problem of hers will be reduced to nothing. Hey, what she is doing for me, and what is my response? How am I responding? She is doing this for me, and this is how I'm responding. So now you'll be able to take it well. But you don't look at it holistically. You're going to be only taking from the dimension that appeals to you. In that way, what's going to happen? Now you shout at her, yeah, I pay for your expenses, I do this, and I do this, what comfort you're enjoying, it's all from me. Right? Now then, the comforts you're showing yourself, I think you rather keep your car, man. I don't need this clothing, so I think rather I'll look after myself. I'll make some samosa and bhajia, and I will do that as a trade, and I will continue myself. Because whatever I'm enjoying from you, you are counting it as a generosity. You're not talking about the favors and my contribution towards this home. You're not looking at it. You're not looking at it from this dimension. You're looking from your dimension. So rather you keep everything. I don't want to hear this all the time, that you'll do me one favor and think about what your, about your favors till the day of Qiyamah. People actually speak like that. He'll do one favor and he'll talk about his favors right till the day of Qiyamah. So now this is being inconsiderate. You're not considerate, you're not thinking. Imagine tomorrow your daughter went into a home and the husband is like that. How do you feel? And your daughter comes crying and this is the man and this is what he's talking about. How do you feel? A little bit of thought process, right? So Allah Pak says, يَقُولُ الَّتِيْهِ أَحْسَنُ. Say that which is best. Why? إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Shaitan sows discord between yourselves. He likes it. When everything is smooth sailing, there's peace, there's harmony around the house everywhere, then Shaitan says, no entertainment, man. I want to see some bioscope, some entertainment, someone is shouting, someone is hitting, someone is bashing, someone is going to hospital, someone's arm is getting broken down. So that, I find a lot of cheer, I find a lot of excitement in that. Otherwise, there's no show in this house. It's so boring. There's no movement, no movement in this house. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بِهُمْ. Shaitan sows discord. He likes that. And in three places in the Quran Sharif, Allah Pak says the same thing. إِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ لَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَالسَّيِّئَةُ. This ill-mannered and ill manners, wrong, and good manners and good ways, both aren't the identical. If you are in that type of situation, إِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Say that which is better. Say that which is best. And look at this verse. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِنْ يَشَأْ يَرْحَمْكُمْ أَوْ إِنْ يَشَأْ يُعَذِّبْكُمْ. Hidayat is Allah Pak's hand. Whether it's at Mawlana that is teaching, but I must do three things. In my teaching or in my dawat, I must do three things. One is dhyan ke saath. Understand what you're doing. What you're doing, understand it properly. Get a proper understanding of what you need to do. Right. That's the first. Number two is focus in what you're doing. You are focused in what you are doing. You are teaching, but your mind is not about what am I going to do in the holidays. What tomorrow is a long weekend and how I'm going to spend my time. You're teaching and you're teaching with focus, with an obsession. See, you like the job. When you like the job, you got your focus there. But if you're teaching and your mind is on holiday, I need to get my car serviced, I need to do this, right? So is your mind going to be in your job? You're in Jamaat now and you left your chickens unattended. Hey, you know what? My chickens are unattended. Now I'm thinking, Allah Pak does. But my chicken, what is going to happen to it? In the meanwhile, you had a dream about your chicken and the dog came and eaten it, right? Because all your worry and that all your mind was all in a state. When your mind was in the state, so now you dream that the dog came and ate all your chickens. So Amir Sahib, you know what, I need to go home. Something wrong there. Why all my chicken got eaten up? You know, I had this dream in the Jamaat, you know, was the state of wuzu. So it can't be a wrong dream. But your mind was embroidered on the same thinking. I'm chicken story, I'm just giving you to make it easy. But the same thing will apply on your business and all that, right? Whatever business you've got, it will apply across the board. So, you know, I had this dream in Jamaat while I was in the state of wuzu, in the masjid I was sleeping. So this dream must be 100%. It's 100% the guess of your mind, the imagination of your mind, 100%. Nothing to do with reality. So the teacher, the da'i, the instructor, he needs to keep these three things. One is understand what you're doing. This is how I start, this is how I end it. The father also, he's talking to his wife, to his children, this is where I start off, this is where I end off. Number two, you're doing this with your wife, your children, then there must be an obsession, there must be focus in what you're doing. They also begin to understand, they begin to see it, that man is focused in what he's doing. They begin to take a liking for you. But you're talking to your wife, and then, what did you say? She doesn't appreciate that. And if she has that attitude with you, do you appreciate that? If your child is talking to you, you're talking to your child, he's doing this. Do you appreciate that? No, look at my face. Leave all this at this time. With a focus, with an obsession, with muhabbat. Now these are simple things. This to ye to ghar ki baat hai thi, ghar ki akal. It's simple things. Your mind is supposed to be taking on it logically. Nobody is supposed to come and instruct you on it. So the second thing is focus. You know, you talk to the person, focus. Look at him, show him some response. You see, that person died. Oh, then what happened? What happened after that? You know, no response you're showing. You're so consumed by something else that there's no response that you're showing. So how does that person feel? See, well, there's no respect here. I don't get any respect. I don't get any response from the person. That's the second thing that we need to understand. One is dhyan. Understanding, right? And number two is focus. Number three is, you will come across hurdles all the time in teaching, in dawat, in instructing as a father. You will come across all situations. And it will be new situations that are totally new to you. So consult. One is you think, you understand, you think, you reason. Then number two is you do the focus. And don't think that you're the most perfect person, so you don't need to consult with anybody. The situation maybe is a small adjustment, and that adjustment is not appealing to you. You can't get it in your mind. There'll be another person who'll come and say, no, do it like this. Just do it this. A small little adjustment, and you got it right. That person, it appealed to him, it didn't appeal to you. So that person must be sensible and understanding. You consult with that person, it's a small little adjustment, but you want to do, just, you know, go to the extremes. And he showed you, lucky you consulted with the person. Allah Pak has designed the system such that nobody can say that I am perfect and, you know, I don't need any outside assistance. Nobody can say that. Everybody requires assistance. The most pious person or the worst person, everybody needs assistance. When we need that assistance, then reach out for the assistance. Now, very seldom you will find a situation when a person is understanding, is reasonable, he's focusing towards the family, whatever, teachers, his students, and he's consulting also, alright, I was working with the student here, I found a problem, I can't get through, can you guide me, what must I do? Now the person has experience, he'll give you his experience, life experience will tell you. So perhaps this child that is coming to your madrasa, or to the school, or to your tuition, maybe he's got a problem at home, he's got a domestic problem, there's a domestic violence. Perhaps they're suffering from malnutrition, they're not fed well. So he'll give you some ideas, alright, that you bring up this child like this, you talk to this child. Now you're talking, your whole approach has changed, so you find a different, totally different response from the child. A little bit changed. So now I must beat him. He said, no, I learned. Gosht tumhara aur haddi hamara. The bones are mine and the meat is yours. By where, which kitab this comes, which hadith this comes from? This is all your own made up. You heard it from someone that you respect mentioned it. So now I can say this. I ask you, is that a hadith? Is that a masla? If Allah asks you on the day of Qiyamah, you heard this person here, and he said, Gosht tumhara aur haddi hamari, where did you get this from? Would you have any answer for that? But if you consult, all right, I got this class, I got this problem here, I have a mishap, I don't understand how it happens. Can you guide me? Can you show me how it should be done? I tell you, that person is ullu kapatta. He's stupid. He'll become an excellent teacher. But that is provided he follows the system. Understand it, try and think, understand. Be focused in what you are doing. And number three is consult with someone experienced, righteous. He doesn't have any matlab in what you're doing. What he's consulting you with, you know, you don't have a matlab in that. You don't have your own agenda. Person's got his own agenda, he can't guide you correctly. So, يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَوُ بَيْنَهُ. See how beautiful this ayat is. That hidayat, that is Allah Pak's hand. You do your work. It's your business, you do your work. With your dhyan, with your focus and tawajjuh, and with mashwara, you do your work. Now, you don't become obsessed with the results. Why am I not seeing the results? Then I am envisaging, I am projecting some results. Why am I not giving? That's not your problem. Why is not coming on hidayat? Why is not learning his sabak? Why is not doing these things here? That's not your job. But are you putting the procedures in place? Are you consulting all the time, all right, week for week, 2 weeks for 2 weeks, fortnight on a monthly basis? You're asking, you're saying what's happening, and you are consulting all the time. You are saying what's happening and you're consulting. Then it's unlikely that you will suffer, your business will suffer, your child will suffer, your student will suffer, or the person that you're talking in Dawah will suffer. There'll be comfort, there'll be ease, there'll be understanding. At the time of fitna, what are we supposed to be doing? I don't know how many people I had to speak to today, whatever happens, but because it's becoming a public news now. So I explain, see, I assume it's the hadith of Ka'b ibn Ujra radiyallahu anhu. He's asking at the time of fitna, what is to be done? Now, understand what is fitna. The meaning of fitna, when they talk about fitna in the hadith, you know, what do they refer to? Fitna is a situation where you don't know who is on the right and who is on the wrong. You know this person is on the right, so you will support the right. Then you won't be balancing. You won't be playing a balancing act. Now, people feel, no, I must play a balancing act and I must be with everybody. That's not the right thing. Someone is murdering your mother, so be on the side of the murderer and on the side of the mother. Can you do that? No. You be on the side of right. But now it's a situation where you can't work it out who is on the right and who is on the wrong. Now, what must you do? You're looking at this person also looks right. That person also seems to be right. As long as your mind is not settled as to who is right and who is wrong, then you don't take sides. What are you supposed to be doing? Then the hadith gives three pointers. One is, amlik alayka lisanak. Just control your tongue. When you say control your tongue, in other words, in any way that you convey and communicate, just control it. Because in conveying and receiving, there's two levels, right? One is you saying it and one you receiving it. Right? Both, you can respond to both situations. Whether you say something or whether you read up and listen to something, you can respond to it. So, don't you say anything. And to avoid you saying anything, then don't listen to anything. Don't read up anything, don't listen to anything. Because you can't still make out who was right and who is wrong. Now, when you're listening to all these things, your mind is getting more and more in a state of confusion. The more you're listening to this person, you're getting confused. He's right. The next moment you hear this, read another WhatsApp, you feel that person is right. So what's happening to your mind? Are you bringing any direction? Are you bringing any direction in your life? There's no direction in your life. You're getting more and more confused. So you don't listen to anything and don't say anything. Don't read, don't listen, don't say. See that the depth of the hadith really is phenomenal. There's a lot of depth in it. But give that hadith a chance. Think about what Nabi Sallam is saying. You're not going to see anything when you don't read anything. But if you're going to read anything, can you stop your tongue? You're reading it all the time, reading it, hearing from this person and that person. Then can you stop your tongue? You cannot stop your tongue then. Because you're hearing so much you're hearing, so you can't control your tongue. At some point you're going to say something. You're going to vent some feeling. You're going to be taking sides. Right? So what is the hadith saying? Amlik alayka lisanak. Just stop. Just zip up. Complete. Don't say anything. So for you to not be able to say anything, don't read anything. Don't listen to anything. By this topic, I don't want to listen to it. Now talk about something else. Business, selling cars is alright. Let's make some money, some fayda. Dunya ka fayda hoga, deen ka fayda hoga. But this thing, no, I don't want to listen to it. Why? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, amlik alayka lisanak? Because there's going to be an internal turmoil or an external turmoil. There'll be a turmoil that I can see or turmoil within. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Quran Sharif is asking you, don't get into a turmoil. La tanaza'u fatafshiru. See how real that is. Don't you get into a turmoil, into a fight. Because if you're going to get into a fight, you're going to get embroiled, then you'll break your spirit. Now look, anybody is involved in the Jamaat work and is getting embroiled in this type of activity, this type of discussion. I ask you, I'm challenging you, that is your spirit broken or not? The more you're listening to it, the more your spirit is being broken down. And exactly the Quran Sharif is saying, La tanaza'u fatafshalu. Exactly. This is how, see, precise, absolutely clear. That you're going to fall into a fight, then your spirit is going to be broken down. Because in a fight, you have two situations. Either you are directly involved, or you are a spectator. In both situations, your spirit is down. Hey, what type of people? How can they do this thing? So don't you feel down? So who asked you to spectate? You're reading up all these messages. What are you doing? You are spectating. You're enjoying it also. You're getting thrilled. You're crying after, hey, what type of Muslims they are now. Right? So you're giving your own sixpence impression about the whole thing. But then who asked you to spectate it? You know your spirit is going to go down. Everything, the little that you're doing, all is going to get lost. All is going to get washed away. So you just zip up. You don't listen to it. You don't read up. And you don't even talk about it. Finish. La tanazaw. The Quran says, don't you fall into a dispute, lest your spirits will be broken down. That gush you're doing, continue with the gush. Zikr you're doing, the talim you're doing, whatever you're supposed to be doing, you do that. But don't get into this thing yet. That's the first thing. Wabki ala khatiyatik. And the second thing the hadith is saying, cry over your sins. The more I get into your life, I'm going to cry about myself, I'm going to cry about you. I'm going to get into your fight, I'm going to talk about you. I'll forget myself. I was supposed to be thinking about myself. The more I think about myself, I say, hey, I need to get this right. My Quran Sharif is not right. My zikr is not right. My namaz, hey, I'm not getting in jamaat. I need to get myself right. So the more I will think about myself, I will come on track. But I've been discussing about you and the third person, the fourth person. I will lose track of myself. The little I'm doing, that also I'll lose out.